Well, happy Sunday morning to you for those watching and listening online. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. We're going to be wrapping up our series, The Sins of the Fathers, today. This upcoming summer, we're going to be hearing from leaders within our church. We're so thankful for them stepping up and filling in for me as I'm overseeing our summer camp that's happening here at our campus. So we have about 86 kids each week. We have about 10 to 13 leaders every day as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of what it looks like as we've grown quite a bit. So guys, I want to talk, as we wrap this up, I want to talk about a moment that I had. And maybe you've experienced one like it too. Well, mine was in my house. My daughter had this creative mess happening in every room of the house except for our side of the house, my wife and I. Have you ever stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night? It's pitch black, and then all of a sudden you step on something. You just let it out. And I had that DEFCON 1 moment. Like, I'm yelling, full volume, meltdown. And in that moment, I heard it. Not just my voice, but I heard my dad's voice. My dad's voice, his words, his tone. And suddenly I wasn't just yelling at Brooke. I was reenacting what happened when I was a kid. And I just remember thinking, what just happened? See, I had promised to Jenny not to have those moments, right? Not to have the temper, the yelling, the anger. And even though we had talked about it, even though I had promised it, yet there I was. I was caught doing the same thing, just in a different decade. And I didn't choose the script, but I was acting it out word for word. See, some of us are now just realizing how much we become like our parents, right? We've kind of hit that stage in life where thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just like them. You guys know those Progressive insurance commercials with Dr. Rick? I feel like that at times. Like, I've caught myself saying things that my dad said. Well, money doesn't grow on trees, or I'll turn this car around. Like, I grunt when I sit down now. Like, congratulations, like, the transformation is now complete. But then you have the deeper stuff, right? The trauma, the temper, the trust issues. They have gotten passed down, and they continue until someone decides to stop, right? Someone decides to stop them. And look, here's what I've learned, that you and I cannot heal what we won't admit. And you and I can't break the cycle if we're too busy pretending it doesn't exist. Like, I think for some of us, we are thinking that it's the other person's fault, and we're just waiting for them to stop. But here's the thing. Some of them have stopped. Their life has been changed. And guess what? We're still repeating the same things. We just don't even know it. That's what I mean. Like, you and I cannot heal what we won't admit. The day I became aware of it was the day that I had to make a choice. Do I let this pass through me to her, or do I stand up and say, this may have started with them, this may have started generations ago, but it ends with me? Maybe for you it wasn't anger, but maybe it was order, like a spotless house, right? Maybe you've heard this, a clean house is a happy house, a clean room is a happy room. And you had that policy sort of instilled with you with military precision. You were constantly checked. I mean, it was white glove test regularly. And sure, some of that may have served you well. You learned responsibility. You learned respect. You learned how to fold a fitted sheet with one hand. But somewhere along the line, here's what happened. Expectation became pressure. Pressure became perfection. And perfection turned into performance. And whether it was a clean room, or maybe you learned how to deal with people with passive aggressiveness or cold silence, or maybe addiction was part of your family story, or manipulation, deception, gossip as concern, or just this chronic allergy to being vulnerable, to open up to people. We all inherited something, right? We all picked up these patterns that we didn't ask for. Maybe for you, it was that you don't talk about real pain. You just clean around it. You just kind of skirt around it. You know what that is? That's denial. Maybe for you, you learn that you just bury emotions. As long as everything looks good on the outside, you know what that is? That's fraud. Maybe you learned that love is earned, not given. And here's what begins to happen. Maybe you've seen this in your kids, that they're starting to seek love in all the wrong places. Or maybe that yelling is part of the family love language. Basically, we're saying that we're unable to communicate. Or maybe you learned that what's in the fridge fixes a broken heart, right? We learn to cope with eating. Most of us are still trying to figure out that if what we learned is healthy or just familiar. Because the truth is that what feels normal might not be right. And what's been handed down might need to be handed back. Like, maybe this might be helpful. Like, every family installs an operating system in your life. Like, you don't even know it's running in the background. It tells you how to handle conflict. It tells you how to show love. It tells you how to manage failure or manage success. It kind of tells you how to, like, open up or not open up, or to share feelings or not. Like, just like outdated software, it glitches. It freezes when emotions get too big. It crashes when someone tries to open up. It's full of bugs that you didn't create, but yet you're the one dealing with the blue screen of dysfunction or the pinwheel of death. But the good news is that you and I don't have to keep running the same operating system. You and I can upgrade, but you and I can't do that until we stop pretending the old one still works. So here's what I want to do today as we kind of wrap up the series. I want us to go from, well, this is just my lot in life, or this is just what I got passed down, or this is what I have inherited, to this. This is what God offers instead. So we've talked about Moses the last 5 weeks. But after Moses came another strong leader in Joshua. And he begins to gather the people of Israel together for some last words, just like Moses did, we saw last week. So here's Joshua giving kind of his last words, and he's speaking to people who've inherited not just the land, the promised land, but they've inherited some legacies. And some of the legacies were God honoring, the others not so much. So Joshua stands up and he says this, "Now fear the Lord." Now, every time we see the Lord capitalized, that's God's covenant name, that God made a covenant with the nation of Israel. And so basically Joshua's reminding them, hey, you remember what he committed to and what you committed to? Serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. Worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, Joshua's not just talking about these little clay figurines or these wooden statues that people would bow down to. He's referencing real spiritual beings the ancestors worshiped. These Elohim. And this is kind of where we go back to our series that we did, How to Read Your Bible. We discussed what happened before the flood. Some of the sons of God, the Elohim or angels, they rebelled against God. They crossed a line. They married women who gave birth to the Nephilim. And these divine beings are part of this cosmic rebellion against God's order. And this rebellion just continued what happened before with the devil. They continue this spiritual contamination, this blend of violence and pride and perversion and idolatry. And it just became embedded in human cultures. Then right after Moses selects Joshua to succeed him, in fact, Moses gives Joshua some history. He says this, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided up mankind, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the heavenly assembly." What Moses is telling Joshua is that after the Tower of Babel fiasco in Genesis 11, God disinherits the nations and hands them over to lesser spiritual beings, Elohim. God keeps one nation for himself, Israel, in which he would send a Messiah to redeem people from all nations. Now these gods, as described in Psalm 82, they're corrupt. They lead nations into rebellion, injustice, and idolatry. These gods that Joshua refers to, they're just not false ideas. They're real spiritual beings. They're real spiritual powers behind the nations Israel had contact with. Egypt, Mesopotamia, Canaan, and Israel flirted with their influence constantly. And Joshua isn't just saying, hey, don't be like your weird uncle who just worshiped a goat statue. He's saying, pick a lane. Stop aligning yourself with these cosmic powers, these cosmic traitors who have been leading families and nations into chaos. Choose Yahweh. Choose God, the one true God. Joshua is calling his people to do two things. The first is to renounce loyalty to real spiritual powers that oppose God, and to break free from cultural and familiar patterns rooted in these false loyalties. Like, when you and I consider this worldview, generational sin isn't just psychology, it's spiritual allegiance. I want to be honest, some family patterns like addiction and abuse, pride, deception, control, often have spiritual roots in what our ancestors worshiped. Like, the people that went before you generations ago, they may have worshipped power and pleasure and self and money and reputation. And here's the thing, like, we may not be worshiping the same God in like the statue like they did, like Baal, but we may be worshiping the same things. Here's what I mean. We may be worshiping control, sex, work, image, bitterness. It's the same war. It just looks different. It's just different packaging. But it's that spiritual influence that tries to distract us from aligning ourselves up with God and his values, which produce life. So when Joshua says, choose this day, he's not referring to a casual decision. He's inviting people to publicly defect from this cosmic rebellion and align themselves up with God. Like, if we fast forward this to the New Testament, we see this played out with Jesus. He invites people. He embodies this. He expands upon what Joshua did. In fact, this is what he says in Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus is the new Joshua. Now, it's interesting that Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. Both mean the Lord saves. So, Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. Jesus leads us into a new life of freedom from sin. Jesus is not just bringing us into a new land one day, but he brings us into a family, into a kingdom with a new allegiance, a new identity, a new legacy. There's a new choice that's presented. Jesus invites us to follow him, breaking free from the bondage of sin and entering this transformative relationship with God. And unlike Joshua's time, we now have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, empowers us to make and sustain the choice to serve God with our whole heart. So as we think back at what Joshua called the people to do and what Jesus invites us to do, it's really important that we identify the gods or the patterns that we've inherited. Like, what's been passed down to us? Like, what are the behaviors, the beliefs, or the habits that have been passed down in your family that we just need to confront and surrender? Maybe for us, we have to make this conscious decision. Like, we have to choose today whom we're going to serve. Like, will we continue to do what our relatives did, what our ancestors did, these old patterns, or are we going to embrace this new life with Jesus? I think it's really important that we just ask the Holy Spirit, I need help to walk faithfully in this new path. As I look to break generational cycles of sin and set this new legacy for just not me, but my kids and my grandkids, I need your help, Holy Spirit. I think this is our line in the sand moment. You and I don't get to rewind the tape or jump back in the DeLorean. You and I don't get to opt out of the family that you and I came from, but we do get to decide on what gets passed down from here. And maybe you've seen the brokenness. Maybe you've seen the anger, the addiction, the silence, the control, the hate, the fear firsthand, and you felt the effects of abuse and abortion and adultery, lying and corruption. You felt that. You felt those things, and if you're being real, you've repeated some of it. And maybe you didn't want to, but you did. And it's led to anxiety, shame, regret, a lack of self-control. And this is the moment that where you and I stop saying, well, this is just how I was raised. This is just what Pappy passed down to me. Instead, we replace it with, that may be where I came from, but that's not where I'm going. Joshua just didn't say, well, you should think about changing. He says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Pick a lane. Here's the reality. If you and I don't choose intentionally, your inheritance chooses for you. The reason why this is true is because nobody drifts into holiness. Like nobody, none of us accidentally breaks generational sin. Like none of us casually rewrites the story. It happens on purpose. It takes focus and determination and strength and power from the Holy Spirit. This is an opportunity to work for a new future instead of just hoping things are going to change. This is an opportunity to stop serving an enemy who distracts us with finding approval or comfort, or who uses fear or the need for control to distract. This is an opportunity to serve Jesus who doesn't distract. He doesn't manipulate you. This is an opportunity to stop the cycle of family story of brokenness and pain. This is an opportunity to inspire our kids and our grandkids that there's a better way to live a life under Jesus' leadership. Someone is going to tell your story one day. What are they going to say? Here's a challenge for us. First, we need to own what's broken. And not to shame yourself, but we just have to stop pretending it's not there. Two, name what ends with you. Say it out loud. Write it down. Confess it to somebody. You have to bring whatever that is into the light. Choose your new allegiance. Let that choice bleed into your calendar, into your finances, into your apologies, into your parenting, into your marriage, into your prayers. And then ask God for a new legacy. One that your kids, your friends, your circle of influence, your community, they look back on and say, well, that's where everything changed. They asked God. God did something miraculous in their life. That's what Jesus invites us into. Like, we all understand that breaking a pattern is hard and keeping it broken is even harder. But with the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. And He knows where He's taking us. For those on the other side of this, and maybe you're so frustrated for how long it's taking for someone that you love to take to change. Like, it's irritating for your husband, your wife, like, man, what is taking them so long? They ought to know this. It's important that we give grace for the slow process of growth and to celebrate the smallest signs of generational change. Because by not doing those two things, giving grace and celebrating the small things, this attitude can actually be something the enemy uses to discourage them. All right, there's two things I want us to think about. One, what God do you struggle most with? And you find yourself worshiping with your actions. Is it control, approval, comfort, or something else? And secondly, what role can the Holy Spirit play in sustaining change once you decide to break the cycle? I'd love to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for not just Joshua's call to the people, but Jesus' call to us. Father, there are some things that we have to die to each and every day. Father, I ask that in this moment that you're helping us understand the things that we have to admit. Because if we won't admit the dysfunction, if we won't admit the things that we've taken and they've been unhealthy, they have been damaging, if we won't admit those things, we won't be able to heal. So, Father, I ask that not only would you reveal those things to us, but we would admit those things, and we can start the healing process. Father, I ask that we would be very self-aware and very self-reflective. We would not be looking at other people and how they need to change. We need to look at ourselves first. So, Father, I ask that we would make the necessary changes that we need to make. Help us to align ourselves up with you instead of these cosmic spiritual powers that are doing everything they can to distract us from following you. In Jesus' name, amen.